Welcome to the Riding from the Inside Out, Empowering Our Horse Girl Selves podcast. I'm your host, Michelle Waldo. In this podcast, I talk about how I became a horse girl as a child and why I've returned to being a horse girl as an adult. I discuss what I've learned about why many of us are horse girls, what that inexplicable heart and soul-based force is that draws us to horses like moths to a flame, how I've learned that our relationships with horses can be an opportunity for us as horse girls to empower ourselves at our deepest inner self levels, and how by doing so, we can feel more empowered in all aspects of our lives, including in our riding and our relationships with horses. In this show, I'll share personal stories of my journey to date and how I continue to practice doing this day to day in my relationship with my current horses. I'll also periodically interview other women about how they're empowering themselves as horse girls as well. So join me as we go on this journey of empowering our horse girl selves together. Welcome back to the Riding from the Inside Out podcast. In today's episode, I'm talking about connecting with our horses by connecting with ourselves and how that works, or how it can work and how it can sometimes not work. So let's dive into this. This episode is actually coming and is inspired by an interaction of me with my baby chickens. We live in Montana. We've never had chickens before. We've been kind of toying with the idea for a number of years. And finally this year, it felt like the year to do it. Not because it made any logical sense, actually, because we're busy. But I don't know. There was just this thing like, get chickens now. And I thought it was for my son. My youngest son, he really liked chickens when he was in preschool. So I thought, well, this would be a fun project for him and it would be something good for him to get involved in. So that was kind of what drove me past the, arguments I might make with myself about not doing chickens right now and whatever. Like, oh, well, it's going to be good for him. Well, yeah, he is not really involved in the chickens, at least not yet. Maybe at some point. So who has become the chicken person? Me. I've become the chicken person. And I love animals. I love all animals. I've been curious about chickens. But also a little afraid. My mom was afraid of birds. And so I grew up kind of with this, like, not a conscious fear of birds, but, you know, kind of like this, ooh, like, why is she scared? Then maybe I should be nervous kind of thing, even though it doesn't make any sense. And I love wild birds. I love, you know, I love geese. I love hawks. I love watching the eagles. I love robins and all the little birds that we see around, and woodpeckers and all of that. But I've never really had any experience with chickens. And we decided to get some chicks, and we decided on 10 little chicks. And we brought them home, and I thought my son, like I said, was going to take the lead, and he hasn't. So it's been me. And what this has to do with horses and your connection with horses, there is a connection. I have been just, you know, I watched some, or I read some stuff about chicks, like basic stuff, like they need this thing called a brooder where they stay in, and you need some kind of like heat source for them and whatever. So I knew that, and I kind of got enough information to be able to get us through bringing them home and all of that. And I had researched some breeds so that we would get breeds that kind of could get along, get a few different breeds and get breeds that would get along with each other and do well with handling. Because our purpose with chickens is as pets, and then also for eggs, not for eating. I can't do that. For myself. So that's what I had done. But otherwise, you know, any awareness of how to connect with a chicken or a chick was not, you know, I didn't read anything or watch anything about it. And it reminds me a little bit of how I was with horses and ponies. I mean, I did read what I could at the library. But back in, you know, a long time ago, when I was getting started with horses and ponies, when I was like, you know, five and up, you know, there were only so many books in the library. There was no internet. And I don't even think, you know, we had a subscription to magazines at that point. Later we did, and I would pore over them. But, you know, pretty much it was like me, myself, and I. And, you know, the question is, how was it that me, myself, and I was able to kind of figure things out with the ponies or the pony that I had that kind of went somewhere, if you will. I don't like to use the word went somewhere, but by outer world standards went somewhere. So I've talked in this podcast about how I had ridden a pony. I'm not going to go into all these details, but my sister had access to a pony. I'd ridden that pony a little bit. And then I had a pony for the summer that we kind of borrowed, that I kind of got used to riding a little bit. And then I got my own pony, and that was a disaster. I was terrified of her, and she bucked me off, and I couldn't do it. She was so pretty, but I couldn't do it. We ended up selling her, and then I was ponyless, and then I ended up just finding this pony at the barn that nobody was doing anything with, this little paint pony. And I started working, or got permission to be able to kind of like lease this pony. We called it renting back then because we were clueless about, you know, that kind of stuff. But basically we paid for its board, and then I worked with the pony. And I didn't have resources. I didn't have a trainer. I didn't have training. I just had, you know, my experience and my desire and my drive. And I've talked a lot about this. And it's a little bit kind of like the chickens, aside from that I did watch stuff about the breeds and whatever. So how this ties into connection with your horse is that today I was drinking my tea and journaling, and I happened to look at my phone, and there was like this little notification, and it was, I forget what it was. It was something. And then I somehow ended up looking at YouTube, and there was a video of a woman that was talking about how to have your chicken, you know, connect with you as like their mother hen. And I was like, well, you know, these chickens are getting bigger, and I want them to be able to be handled. And I've been doing really well with them, but I should probably watch this. So I watched it, and I was kind of blown away, because what she talked about in the video was all the stuff that I had been doing with these baby chicks that I am now in charge of without anyone telling me to do it. I was doing all kinds of things, like the exact tips that she was talking about. And I had just done it like just by feel, by, I don't know, just, you know, caring about these little chicks and wanting to feel a connection with them and wanting them to trust me and, you know, wanting to feel comfortable with them. And, you know, I don't know, I've been around lots of animals all my life. I've been able to connect with all kinds of animals. As a matter of fact, right now I have an animal trying to connect with me as I'm recording because we have this cat. She was a stray cat. She was very aggressive. I call her Art Cat now, but she also has a different name. But she hangs out in my office where I have my work, where I'm recording, and also I do my artwork and stuff. So I joke around, my husband started calling her Art Cat, so sometimes I call her that. But she wants to sit on my lap. So right now she was just like coming over to me. And she's a tricky cat because she was like wild. You know, I've had to learn how to really communicate with her and develop her trust. But I've always been a bit of a cat whisperer. I've always had stray cats and feral cats, I've been able to, you know, connect with them. And this is kind of relevant to this whole conversation. Like, I never took a course on how to work with stray cats or how to work with feral cats or whatever. It's just kind of like, I don't know, it's just kind of my knowing. She's our cat has settled in on my lap and now she's purring. She's very funny because sometimes she will actually, you know, she's very sweet. But sometimes she gets scared and she will bite hard, or scratch me. not very often now. It's very, very few and far between, but, you know, she's really given me an opportunity to kind of learn things about what I know about cats. And it's the same thing with chickens, with these chicks is like, I didn't watch that YouTube video of someone who was experienced telling me what to do. I mean, I did today and I was like, oh my God, all the things she's talking about are things that I just did with these chicks. And I've never had chicks before. I've never even really been around chickens aside from visiting one friend's chicken coop and seeing them from a distance and then seeing some chickens at my kid's preschool. That is my chicken experience. You know, aside from seeing that there is a woman that I knew in the San Francisco Bay Area and she got really into chickens and she would talk about how much she loves chickens and she would share videos sometimes of her and her chickens. But I never saw her with baby chicks. I never saw what she did. Whatever. I thought it was cool that she had a connection with these chickens. So where is it that this came from? Where is it that this came from that allowed me to, you know, kind of do these things with these chicks that then an experienced person on YouTube that has, I don't know, many, 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 many subscribers as a chicken expert, I guess you will, and has had many, what do you call them? Not litters, but little groupings of chickens, chicks, baby chicks that she's raised. How is it that I was doing this thing that she's now telling people that they can do? How did that happen? And it's the same thing that happened with me with this pony paint. And really what it is it's what I talk about a lot. When I talk all about, you know, empowering ourselves as heart and soul centered horse girls, that if we have, speaking of cats, there's a cat, we have an elderly cat, and he's in the background doing his crying. Okay, so there was a little interruption there because he gets really loud. But what ended up, you know, happening with that pony, which is the same with the chicks, is that like with the chicks, you know, I want to have a connection with them, a sincere connection, not like I just want to trick them into thinking that I'm in charge so that they'll trust me so that I can do whatever I need to do with them. That's not the kind of intention I've had with these chicks. I want to actually have a true connection with them. I want them to trust me. I want to be able to have good interactions with them. You know, I care about their well-being and I want to do the right thing with them. And I want to just kind of see them as they are. I don't have objectives, you know, for them. I would like to have eggs, you know, ideally, but that's, you know, it's not like, oh, if a chicken isn't producing an egg, then they're out. It's not like that. It's more of like the eggs are like the side benefit, you know, that I really would enjoy, or I know our family would enjoy. But ultimately, it's also about having a connection with these animals and having them be part of our life and our lifestyle and having this experience. And that was kind of also what it was with the pony, you know. It was like, well, I have this inexplicable connection with horses and ponies that was at a soul and heart level. Meaning, what I mean by that, and I've talked about this in this podcast, but I'm you know, still trying to put to words what that means to me, is it's like this connection or this kind of force or magnetism or draw that goes beyond logic or words, right? Like, it just is like when something makes sense or it clicks in or it feels right. It's not a logical thing. It's a heart thing. It's a soul thing. And that's the way I was with horses. It's the way I am with animals in general. But for whatever reason, there was something about the horses and the ponies that at a young age, I knew that there was something very significant with them. You know, we had had cats, but I don't think I had really developed the kind of connection with cats that I have now. My mom had a dog, but it was her dog, and I didn't have a connection with, you know, dogs like I do my dog now. So there was something with the horses, just the nature of them and ponies. And then that's what I mean by a heart and soul connection. And so with this pony paint, it was like, I didn't have any other options. Like, we had sold this pony Spooker that I tried to make that kind of connection to. And I think I didn't know how to find the answers within myself at that point. And then I was just kind of too scared and I like kind of just kind of gave up. But with paint, this pony, it was like, it was either kind of figure it out, or that was it. Like, I was not going to have this kind of connection with horses and ponies. I wasn't going to have one. So I kind of had to find a way. And I feel like what that way meant was that it gave me, you know, courage to push past, I don't like to use the word push past, but to be brave and not let my fears stop me from tuning in to be able to find answers. And this is what I'm talking about, this tuning in. It's not finding answers outside of me, it was finding answers in me. And this is what I believe that I did with the chick. It's also what I, you know, believe that I did with this cat that was just on my lap, and she's now going to come over and want to be on my lap again. We call Art Cat, you know, because she was a full outside feral cat and, you know, can and will attack if she feels threatened. You know, she's had to learn to trust me. And it's the same at the heart of whether it's this cat, Art Cat, or whether it's the chicks, or whether it's this paint pony that I, this pony named Paint that was actually like a paint or a pinto. I can't remember the exact breed of which one it was. I think it was technically a paint, and that's why he was called Paint. Anyway, whatever. It at the heart of all of these things, it is this same thing. It's this heart and soul draw to want to connect with, in an authentic way, with the spirit and the soul of this other being. And that is, you know, and being willing to do kind of in a way whatever it took, which in the case of, you know, what I mean by that is not pushing my way, but not pushing past, but being intrinsically kind of driven to go beyond what might have seemed, you know, scary or terrifying or what would make me kind of give up. I was able to kind of go beyond that. You know, like with the paint pony, it was because I would not have a pony or a horse if I didn't make that pony work. Like, that was my shot. With the chicks, it's like, well, I just, you know, they're these little chickens and they're relying on me. And, you know, so there's this soul connection of wanting to connect with them and be able to, you know, find a way of developing that connection. With Art Cat, it's, you know, here was this cat that was outside. It was turning cold. She was injured and she didn't have a home. We found out, you know, she didn't have a, a chip. She wasn't chipped. You know, so I took her in and there was that, you know, wanting to connect with her at this soul level, despite her being willing to, you know, and her proclivity to attack me because she had learned to really not trust humans. And I have a lot of the same thing going on with my 8-year-old off-track thoroughbred that he's a complex horse. And I'm not going to make this episode about him because he could be the subject of many of his own episodes. But my point is, with all of this, is how is it that I didn't get training from someone else to be able to make the kinds of connections with these animals that then led to kind of like this outcome, an ongoing outcome that I had to continue to practice at, but the outcome meaning I have this cat, Art Cat, who now comes and lays on my lap and purrs, you know, and trusts me. I had this outcome with this pony, Paint, that went from, you know, rearing up and you know, running back to the barn with me on his back and scraping me off on the fence to being able to take him places and go on trail rides and be able to do 4-H with him and have people be like, where did this pony come from? And or people at the barn who had seen this, you know, kind of like pony that no one was doing anything with, and suddenly there's this little girl riding him around, doing all this stuff, taking him to 4-H, and you know, at the time I did you know, fun and games types stuff. But like having a blast and having this amazing little partnership, how did I do that? I'm not saying this to toot my own horn and be like, look at me, copy me. I'm saying this because the formula of what I learned to do was not a formula that I'm going to teach you that is a step-by-step, do this thing, do that thing, you know, my little system of training that I'm going to teach you to do. The formula of what I learned to do was to tune into me. And by tuning into me, I reached a state of presence and, you know, kind of authenticity within myself that allowed me to tune into and listen to this other, you know, being that, you know, that I wanted to connect with and that wanted to connect, you know, with me. Ultimately, I'm saying this as Art Cat comes and she wants to sit back down on me. She's so funny. She wants me to hold her, you know, she trusts me now. And she was just doing that as I was talking. If I touch her in the wrong place though, if I, you know, pick her up at the wrong time, she will still bite me. She will. But I've learned, you know, how to connect with her and how to listen to her. And this is what I'm talking about. It's like, it's not a logical system. It's not a step-by-step system. It's not a do this one thing and then this next thing and then this next thing and then this next thing. The rules for Kit Kat, that's actually her real name that we gave her, Art Cat, are different than other cats. You know, what she feels comfortable with. I can't just apply, like if I watched a video on how to work with feral cats, the rules of that video may not work for her. And that's my point. It's like when we want to follow this like set of rules or a training system with our horses, and we're like, we're going to do this step and then we're going to do that step and then we're going to do this next step and we're going to do this next step, you know, that might serve us. It might be that which is relevant for our horse at that particular moment. But a lot of times what I've found is that when we're doing that, if we're just blindly trying to apply a system to, you know, in someone else's system to connect with our horse, that may not be what's right for our horse. And then we're like, well, why is our horse not responding the way, you know, they're supposed to? They must be doing something wrong, or we must be doing something wrong. Well, the thing that I found is that it's like we're trying to find some type of logical step-by-step set of rules to follow, like a Bible to follow, to fit in and get our horses to do this thing we want them to do, which is maybe a connection. But really, they're a being. They're their own being, and they have their own set of experiences. And really, the best thing that we can do is to tune into ourselves. And when we tune into ourselves with a sense of authenticity and connection and allowing ourselves to be present, we can also then go into that state and that place of being able to truly listen to and connect with the uniqueness of that particular horse or pony and listen and observe and be open to what is it that they are communicating with us. That is what I did as a little girl with paint. That is what caused paint and I to start to develop a relationship that then led to him not rearing up. It led to him, you know, trusting me. It led to me starting to trust him. And it was this partnership. Me I'm just going to let, you know, the horse or the pony do everything. And then I'm just along for the ride. No, it was me listening to me and honoring me and me listening to him and honoring him. And that is the same thing that I was doing with the chicks. It's the same thing that I've done with Art Cat. It's the same thing that I've done and I do with animals. And really what this is tuning into ourselves and tuning into our own knowing and our own self. And really, I find that when we do this, this is how that connection can happen. And it's not about, you know, there's a whole world of natural horsemanship out there. And what I find is that's really cool. And the way I, you know, will utilize something is if I tune into myself and then I feel like myself called to that information, that information, that piece of information is something relevant for me right now. It's like my own inner knowing is kind of calling me to a piece of information that can be helpful for me for, you know, whatever it is I'm doing, understanding myself, understanding the cat, understanding the horse, you know, whatever. It's like I kind of like at an unconscious level call it to myself as part of my knowing, and then it can benefit me. But when I try to just follow a step-by-step system that has been created by somebody else, with say my horse, that does not work because every horse is different and every person that may have created a system, you know, that's been based on their experience with those particular horses and what they've found. And it doesn't mean that that doesn't have value at all. But I believe that no matter what kind of horsemanship techniques or training that we listen to, that we also have to listen to ourselves, that we have to listen to our horse, because they don't fit into a box, and their situation may not be exactly the same as what that trainer that you're listening to's situation has been, the experiences they've had with those particular horses. I've had this happen over and over and over again. I've had it happen with my kids. I've had it happen with animals. I've had it happen with myself. And what I've found is that when we can tune into ourselves and listen to ourselves and our own kind of knowing, our own selves and our own knowing will help lead us to certain maybe, you know, trainers or hoof people, you know, hoof care people, or maybe a medical, like a vet with a certain perspective that is right for us at that particular moment. But if we just blindly go in and try to follow something, you know, as a set exact thing, and then we're like trying to fit our horse into that sometimes can work. And if it's working, great. But a lot of times I found it's not, because I find that every being is individual and they don't fit into set exact boxes. And so if somebody has created a system and it's like, you know, you've got to do this and then this and then this and then this and then this with no kind of no like allowance for deviation or no allowance for the uniqueness of the animal or yourself, that's not ultimately going to work. And I've discovered this in my own, you know, kind of programs as well. Like if I'm saying do something at all costs and you have to do it a certain way, that I've always come back to learn that I was mistaken, that there is some way in which I kind of there was something else at play. I'm not going to get into, I know what that was, and I'm not going to get into all of that at this in this episode. But my point is, if you want to connect with your horse, it's about seeing that your horse also, it's like, I had someone actually listen to my first version of the Riding from the Inside Out podcast, and they came back to me and they said, well, what do you think horses want? And I was like baffled by that question. Like, what do I think horses want? I don't look at horses as this big group and be like, what is it that horses want? I guess I feel like it can be helpful. And I've read some stuff where people have talked about what they've observed with horses and understanding that a horse is a prey animal, or understanding the nature of most horses can be helpful, right? But like, I don't really think there's this whole category of what horses want, because I don't think of horses as this big one single entity that all want the same thing. I've found that horses are as unique as any other being, you know, just like there's these chickens, okay, these little chicks. I already see the differences in these 10 chicks. I'm starting to like see, oh, there's the one that always jumps on my hand. There's the one that always seems a little aloof, but then always wants to come over. You know, there's the one that always is going to fly up my arm. You know, I'm starting to observe these 10 chickens and they all are unique. It's the same thing with my horses. You know, yesterday was the 8th birthday for my youngest guy, Nilo. when I got him, he was six. So his birthday is in February. And when I got him, I tried him in May, and then I got him, he arrived at our property by June, because I needed to have him shipped and I needed to get our place ready for him. So he was, what, February to June by the time I had him here. So he was six and some months, and now he just turned eight. And I said I wasn't going to talk about Nilo, but I'm going to talk about Nilo apparently. You know, I've had a lot of experiences with Nilo. You know, it was like, okay, here's this horse and he's this like sweet guy and he's already been kind of like restarted and yet he's still green. So this is perfect because I had worked with green horses, but I had been away from horses. So I didn't want to completely be starting with a from scratch green horse. So I kind of thought that this was going to be this like great match for me. And Nilo has been, he's been my greatest teacher and my greatest challenge in so many ways since getting him. And I think that's what the well of emotion that I just experienced, you know, in thinking about the fact that he just turned eight, in some ways, I could look back and be like, what have we done? What have we gotten to? I really haven't ridden him anywhere near as much as what I thought. And yet there is so much I have learned from this horse, from bringing him into my life and having him become part of my world. There's so many things I've learned about myself and about him and about how to listen to myself and about how to listen to him. There's so many things that I've learned about the kind of horse person I want to be and what I believe in now. You know, like, for example, when I first got him, he had shoes on, and in my non-horse world, you know, live a very different, more natural lifestyle than what I used to. I've learned to navigate that through my own health and my kids and whatever, just my listening to myself. And with Nilo, it was very frustrating because it was like in the beginning he had shoes on. So I was like, okay, we'll keep shoes on. But then it was like he had stuff going on with his feet. And it was very clear that there were things that I was going to need to do. And so he took me on this path. Listening to him, you know, and listening to myself took me on this path of first not being able to keep shoes on, which it seemed so frustrating. You know, it was like, oh my gosh, I can't keep shoes on him. And I, to get to this objective of riding him. But then I started to like listen to him and realize that, you know, that wasn't serving him. And if it's not serving him, it's not serving me. And so I started to learn about composite shoes, glue-on shoes, and we went down this path of glue-on shoes, which seemed better for him than regular shoes. And then we went to boots. He lost all the glue-on shoes. And then we went to boots. He would lose the boots. And ultimately, what is he? He's barefoot. He's barefoot, and I'm learning about trimming and working with our barefoot trimmer for him to be barefoot, learning about, you know, different ways of feeding him, learning about different ways of nutrition and letting him be outside, all the things that, you know, that I just have learned to do by listening to him. By listening to him and listening to myself in conjunction. And this kind of thing is kind of what I did with paint years ago. It's what It's what, when I talked in episode 3 about feeling like something was off, it was like there's a way in which I started listening to what was outside of me, or what would be kind of like what my trainer was telling me to do at the exclusion of listening to myself and listening to what the show world was telling me at the exclusion of myself. And I had to learn to listen back to myself, to listen to my horse, to listen to my connection, to listen to what they're telling me by what they're doing. And this is what I'm talking about. This is what Nilo has been showing me. This is what I learned to do with paint. This is what I've learned to do with my chicks. It's what I've learned to do with this cat, Art Cat. It's what I've learned to do with all of my animals. And it's what I've learned to do with myself. To listen to myself. And then to listen to what another being that I want to connect with is also communicating to me. What I have discovered is that when I do this, when I listen to myself in a desire to want to connect with some other being, that I hear things and I see things and I become aware of things and I follow things and I know things that then serve me and serve the horse. I want to give an example of how I can be listening to myself and how that can lead me to someone else that might be, you know, a trainer or somebody. There is a guy named Warwick Schiller, and, he has, you know, he has a bunch of stuff that he shares, and I haven't listened to his, I don't subscribe to his video channel. He has this video library, of stuff, but I'm just giving this, I am not saying that I have listened to all his stuff and I endorse all of his stuff, but I want to give you an example of how when you listen to yourself, you can also be called to listen to somebody like a trainer or a farrier or a barefoot trimmer or a vet or whatever that can be giving you a message that's relevant for you at that time. And you know, it can be an honoring of this other person's stuff that they're sharing. So I had, I was called to listen to one of his first episodes of his podcast. And it was one in which I felt called to listen to, and I forget why, but I listened to it, and it was interesting. There's stuff in there that I resonated with and stuff that I didn't resonate with as much, but there was one part that spoke to me. And it was interesting because I had been feeling called with my horses we had had their shelter, and we had divided it into two sections, and then I felt called to open it up and just keep it one big section and then have like corral panels around it to be able to section Nilo off when he eats, but then be able to open up, you know, the panels to be able to allow the horses to come into the shelter. And then one day I really got called to really like, I don't know. I had been getting called, like I'd been feeling this feeling of just cleaning out the shelter more, even though I didn't see them go into it at all. Cleaning out the shelter, doing a kind of a deep clean, and then putting shavings down. And somewhere kind of along the path of feeling that kind of call to do that, I had listened to this Warwick Schiller episode in which he talked about this horse that had been in his clinic, and this horse had kind of like come into this place, and Warwick was, I guess, he was becoming more aware of, like, you know, these alternative methods that he had not known at the time, because this was back when he first started that podcast. He was starting to like learn a very different way of working with horses is what I was hearing in this podcast episode. And so he was talking about one of the things that he had happen was this horse, like he was calling himself, or he had called himself to kind of tune into this horse in some new ways. And the horse had like kind of gotten into this state of like comfort and just kind of like relaxation in the clinic, I think. And then it went to sleep for like hours. And he talked about what he had learned about, you know, this horse, and that this horse had not had deep REM sleep for a long time. And suddenly it reached this comfort level in this clinic with him to have permission to go into this deep REM sleep. Well, what's so crazy is I had been observing in Nilo this feeling like, I need to do something with the shelter. I need to clean out the shelter more, and I need to put more shavings down. And I didn't know why, but I could tell like Nilo was, I don't know, he was cranky. He was off. And he's a complex horse, so he can be cranky in general. But I could feel that there was something that I needed to do. And so along comes me getting called to listen to this Warwick Schiller episode in which he talks about this horse that it turned out reached this kind of state of comfort with him in this clinic and then went to sleep and needed this sleep. So I'm listening to this and then I'm realizing, oh my gosh, maybe Nilo has not been comfortable sleeping, because the shelter, which I thought he wasn't using, he wasn't also using, because it needed to be something, I needed to do something different to it so that he could feel comfortable. And what it was is I needed to kind of do a deeper clean and put more shavings in it. Now, part of me, the logical and rational part of me, had been like, well, he doesn't even go in there, so what am I going to put all these shavings in? But I just knew, I just felt kind of like I had been getting called to like kind of like feel this knowing in me to clean the shelter out more and put more shavings in. And then it was like I was getting called to listen to this Warwick Schiller podcast episode in which he talked about this horse that needed sleep. And I was like, oh my God, I think that's it. I think that's what Nilo's been trying to tell me. It's like there's some knowing that he's been communicating to me, which is that he wants the shelter cleaned and he wants more shavings in it and he wants it open because he wants to be able to lay down and not just have one half of the shelter. It's a big shelter. Each, it's 12 by 24. So, you know, one half of it is 12 by 12, which is the equivalent of like, you know, a good sized box stall. For most horses that live in barns. But in this case, I was getting called to give him the whole thing and to put more shavings in it. And the moment I did that, I went in and I was like, I did like way more shavings than I normally did. What happened? The next day after I did that, Nilo was covered in shavings. Why? Because he had wanted to lay down in them. And what did I notice after that? It's like he wasn't cranky in the way that he had been. It's like he wasn't, it's like in the Warwick Schiller podcast episode where that horse had been having all these quote unquote behavior issues. And then once he slept in the clinic, he didn't have those issues anymore. And that's the same thing I noticed with Nilo. It's like he went into the shelter and the shelter that I put these shavings in, and then he slept. He felt comfortable enough and had enough space or whatever that then in the middle of this, you know, big 12 by 24 shelter, he slept and he laid down and he stretched out and he felt comfortable. And I saw it and I knew it, and I knew it afterwards. And had he been communicating it with words to me? No, because he can't speak, but he had been energetically communicating it to me in some way. And me tuning into me meant that I then was connecting with what he was communicating with me. And this is what I'm talking about. It's like when I get into this connection with myself, I can start to hear, and it's not necessarily through words, it can be through images or knowing or a feeling or just something of getting into a sense of what it is my horse is asking for me to do. And it's the same thing that I did with these chicks. It's how I was able to do this thing with these chicks that then this woman went on to say that she learned to do with her chicks, but I wasn't doing it because she has had experience with all these chicks and she has now learned how to do this. I was doing it by listening to me and listening to the chicks. And it's the same thing that I've done with my cat, Art Cat, listening to myself and listening to her. It's the same thing I did with Paint, this pony, many years ago. Listening to myself and listening to him. And it's the same thing I did with Nilo. And with Nilo, listening to myself and listening to him also then meant being called that, like, listening to myself meant I listened to a calling to this Warwick Schiller podcast episode in which he talked about sleep. And it kind of gave me the push to go beyond like just using what, 3 bags of shavings and do 6 bags or 5 bags. I forget how many I did. I did this like really deep amount of shavings because I was listening to myself and I was kind of listening to Nilo, but then the kind of rational part of me was like, well, why are you going to use all these shavings? And then it was like the Warwick Schiller episode that I was called to listen to was talking about this horse kind of having these issues because he just needed REM sleep. And I was like, maybe Nilo just, or the horses, I just want to give them more shavings. I don't know why. I just feel called to do it. And then I did that. And it was what he was calling me to do. Nilo was calling me to do it. And it was coming to me in my awareness by tuning into myself and then tuning into Nilo. And this is what I'm talking about. This is what this episode is all about. is that when we tune into ourselves in these ways, which is what I talk all about in writing from the inside out. And it's not about writing. I mean, writing can be a part of it, but it's not just about writing. But in tuning into ourselves, we can tune into our horses and we can understand what it is they're asking us, because they're asking us for something specific for them. That is something they specifically need, not something that per se every horse needs, but that individual horse is looking for. And that can serve us. Also understanding, you know, like understanding that chicks and chickens in general can benefit from these certain things, that's helpful. But I also need to understand that each individual chicken is going to have its own desires and needs as well, the same as my horses. But I found that by tuning into myself and listening to myself and tuning into my horse and listening to my horse, I can also be guided from that knowing to resources and sharings of other people that can empower me and my horse or whatever being I'm trying to connect with. It can empower us in deepening that connection, in flowing and allowing ourselves to just give that spirit of that horse, in this case, because that's what we're talking about here in this podcast, the ability or the opportunity to experience whatever it is that being needs for its well-being. Dilo needed, apparently, a larger, more like bedded place for him to feel comfortable laying down in. And, you know, it kind of makes sense because he had been stabled. You know, he had been in a stable at night before he came with me. And that's what he was used to and he was comfortable with. And I know that he loves being out. But also, you know, he was acclimated to that. He had also, I know, been in a stall for a long time as a racehorse, you know. And who knows what his pasture life had been like. I don't know. But I know he was communicating to me. And I know that the more I tune into myself, I can tune more into him. And I can hear what it is he's asking for. And I can also let him hear what it is I'm asking for. And that is a partnership of connection. So that's what I wanted to talk about in today's episode. But hang on a minute before you go. I want to let you know something that I'm really excited about. I have started a publication on Substack called Writing from the Inside Out, not for just horse girls, but for all horse people. And I'm so excited because I feel like it's possibly really the avenue for how to dive deeper into some of these topics. The Writing from the Inside Out podcast episodes will be available on there. And if you sign up, you can also get them sent to you by email. But I will also have other content just on Substack that is diving deeper or taking another angle or giving you more of a view of what I'm doing and how I'm doing it or things I'm learning as I'm going along this path. I love the Substack format because I can do audios like I love, and I can also do I can include a video clip of an experience I had with my horse that directly connects to that. I can include photos, I can include text, I can kind of do all the kinds of things that I have not been able to do on other social media channels, which actually is why I haven't been on them like I thought that I would. I thought that I would be able to connect with you as a listener more there and share more things, but the format wasn't working and a number of things weren't working for me. And I'm really excited about Substack. So go check me out. I will in the future, I believe, have some kind of content that I will be doing paid, but there is also lots of free stuff on there that I'm going to be doing as well. And I want to connect with you as a listener. And I want to be able to share in this way. So check me out on Substack, Riding from the Inside Out. Bear with me. I'm just getting started. I did put my first post up though. Check it out. Riding from the Inside Out on Substack. You can just go to substack.com and you can check it out in your browser. You can also sign up and subscribe, and then you also get emails directly to your box, and you can kind of pick and choose whether you want just the Riding from the Inside Out podcast to come or not that, because you're listening on a podcast player, or you can listen to just the content that is on Substack that I'm doing in this additional format. And I'm so excited. It gives you an opportunity to comment on the posts or comment on whatever I'm sharing and talk about your experiences and get the kind of, conversations and connections going that I have been wanting. So check me out there. And that's where I'm going to leave it until the next time. I'm so glad that you tuned into today's episode of the Riding from the Inside Out podcast. You also can now find me on Substack, where I'm sharing all of the Riding from the Inside Out podcast episodes that you can listen to on that platform or get emails to not miss any episodes. But you can also see videos of me with my horses, riding, additional audio recordings, and other things that dive further into this way of connecting with our horses and ourselves in deeper ways. You can find me there at ridingfromtheinsideout.substack.com. You can also see some of my other offerings on my website at michellewaldo.com.